read verses 31 through 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Last time, verses 26 through 30, we saw how the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities by making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered according to the will of God. Why is that? Because we don't know for what to pray as we ought. But he's there to help us. We saw that all things, good, bad, all things work together for good to all of us who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. We saw that God foreknew us, predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. We also saw that he called us by the gospel of grace, and he justified us and glorified us. Then we come to our lesson tonight, verse 31. There are six questions in these nine verses. Six questions. And when you ask yourself these questions and you come to the conclusion about the answer, you've got to be blessed. If you don't, you're dead. There's something wrong with you. Watch this. First one. What shall we then say to these things? The fact that we're led by the Spirit of God, and because of that, we're the children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What shall we say about the sufferings that happen in this time? Why, the Lord helps us in those. What about the hope that's sure ahead of us, where we're all going to be with all of creation delivered from the bondage that we're in? And then the Spirit helping us. All things work together. And God foreknowing us, marking us out to a destiny, calling us to Himself, declaring us justified, righteous, and glorified, exalted to heaven to be seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Second question, if God be for us, and He is, who can be against us? Remember what Jacob said when the boys came back from Egypt? And they said, we saw this guy and he's really a jerk. And he said, if we don't bring our little brother back, we're not going to see his face. And he said, all these things are against me. But he didn't know that God was working all of these things out. In just a short time, he was going to see his son that he thought was dead and be gathered with his children and grandchildren there in a wonderful place. What a statement. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who has the ability to be against us? God, who knew us before the world was and wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope you believe that, because that's taught in Scripture. Your name is in the Book of Life. And it's been there since the foundation of the world. He declared us righteous because of the sacrifice of Christ. And who could say we're not? Us, the church of God, His people. Oh, brothers, this is what assurance, what peace, what joy. No wonder the Scripture says that our light affliction pales to nothing in light of what God has prepared for those who love Him. Listen, all this trouble that you're seeing about you right now is nothing. You know, we shake and wonder, what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Praise God. I know where I'm eventually going. I don't know what all there's going to be between now and then, but I know who's going to be with me all the time. Praise God. Now, look at the next question in verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he gave us the best he had, how about the lesser things? They're ours. My, God sent his only begotten son to die on a cross for our sins, to bear our sins in his body on the tree. Listen, I don't think we really sometimes remember how ugly that was that day when he hung there naked before the whole earth. Shameful. Crucified, bleeding, hurting, bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Oh my, how unworthy we are, and yet how blessed we are. The Father looked upon that scene as those women and And his disciples stood back and watched and were no doubt with their hand or the mouth, couldn't speak. But God looked upon that scene, and when his soul was bruised for our iniquities, he was satisfied. It's enough. That does it. It's finished. Praise the Lord. We sing this song. I love to sing this song. It said, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? The truth is, you may not think so, but all things are ours already. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21, Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God. It is true that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I was quoting that verse one time to Brother Neil Meister, who was a pastor of a church in Darmstadt, Germany. And he corrected me. I'll never forget it. He said, you should have read the next verse, Brother Leon. He said, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. We look in the Word and we see glimpses of those things he's prepared for us. Now, can you imagine that God would give you his Son and not take care of every need that you have until you arrive? I'm just like you. I'm a dad. I used to wonder. I'd tell Jan, I said, how are we going to make it? All these kids, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then Lord took care of us all those years, and kids grew up, and we got grandkids and all that. And then I looked at her one day, and I said, honey, what are we going to do when we get old? Hey, I got some news for you. God has taken care of us down to old age. Amen. And he'll take care of you. Because he's given you Christ, he's going to take care of you. We're not going to lack the necessities. It may not be beans and bacon. It may just be beans and rice, but he'll take care of us. You like rice? How many like rice? Oh, yeah, kind of yucky, isn't it? You know what? You ought to go over to one of these far eastern countries and watch how particular they are with their rice. I watched these old mama-sons in Vietnam go out, and they took the rice plants and set them out in little rows out in that mud and water. And they made sure there wasn't no weeds growing in there. They petted that stuff just like their life depended on it. And the Lord brought the crop. I saw something in Japan. I thought I couldn't believe it. You know, I grew up on a rice farm where everything was flat. And you could, we could take the levees and pump water and have a flat thing out there, and it took care of the rice field. The Japanese have rice field right up the side of a mountain. I couldn't believe it. And I watched them old papa-son ride a thing like a bicycle that pumps the water up to the next level, all the way to the top. They take care of their rice. It's their staff of life. The Lord is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. You might not get to go to Burger King 3 times a week, but He's going to take care of you. Then verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You're going to charge us with something. Who can? Amen. It's God that justifies. Listen, the elect of God are a certain number of persons whom God has so loved only because of His sovereign will and pleasure. And these elect, you and I, who now believe, God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world unto eternal life and salvation. He's chosen us from the beginning. But isn't there anything to charge us for? Oh, there was. Yes. We definitely had a lack of original righteousness. Multitudes of sins before we converted. And some of us had very grievous sins. Every one of us, even since we've been saved, have frequent infirmities and fall into sin. And we have an accuser. Someone real close to me, don't think I have this right, but I do. I'll let you judge. I believe the devil's accusing us, throwing mud balls at us all the time. But there's going to come a time when I know his accusing will end. He's very much alive. He's going about in the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I like this. Let me read this. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 11. The question is, who's going to charge us with anything? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And watch this. He had been the accuser. Now he's cast out. And they, that is the saints, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I think that happens when the saints are under the iron fist of the man of sin. God gave them a resolve. He will give them a resolve. He'll give us that resolve that we didn't have before we were converted. That in such a time, we'll have the grace to not love our life in this world even unto death. But all of these charges that Satan and all the people in the world cast towards God's people cannot be substantiated because we're accepted in the Beloved. It's God that justifies. He pronounced us righteous. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I like to ask this question this way. Who will pass sentence of condemnation and send us to perdition? The office of judging in that manner belongs only to Christ. He's the judge of the living and the dead. Bible says in John 5:22, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. It is Christ that died. This may seem so basic, but brethren, when he hung on that cross, he did die in his human body. He died the death of the cross. He died for us to make reconciliation to the Father for our sins. He was our substitute, and he secured us from all condemnation. When we started this chapter, it started out that way. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And why is that? Because sin was the cause of our condemnation. And it was removed by his once for all sacrifice. But it didn't stop there. Every time we say this, we preach the gospel. He's risen again. Thank God. I was over in the Holy Land, and we went out not far from the Garden of Gethsemane. And there was this tomb, and they claim it's that tomb. And I think it probably is. It's kind of on the side of a hill. And the big round stone is rolled over to the side, and it's empty. Praise God, it was empty when Christ walked out. Resurrected from the dead in a body of flesh and bone, glorified body. And we know that because of hundreds of witnesses who saw him alive after his death and burial and resurrection. Paul, talking about the gospel, said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's an important statement because all of the scriptures bound up in his death. And he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And now he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Then he says, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. I wouldn't have any trouble taking the word of 500 witnesses that something took place. Amen. Praise God. Witnesses not to all the people, but unto those chosen before of God. Then after his resurrection and being seen of them for 40 days, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. That verse said he's even at the right hand of God. As the disciples watched him, suddenly taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight, he went to heaven to sit on the right hand of God, where he still is to this very hour. And what is he doing? He's told us everything that we need to know for now. He's making intercession for us, his elect. The Hebrew writer said, but this man, Jesus Christ, our high priest, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I don't know what picture you get, but I think there are still accusations. And I think there our Savior pleads and mediates on our behalf. That's what intercession is. We're not going to fail because he reconciled us to God. Now, are you listening? Now we're being saved by his life. And then, question number 6, in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37 says, nay, look at the preposition. In all these things. In all these things. While they're going on. Amen. We are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. I remember being at Landmark Church. And Brother Curtis Pugh got up, was there to preach, and he said, I'm going to try to preach and show you tonight why we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'll never forget that. I was blessed. And we are, listen, if we were just a conqueror, that's great, but we're more than conquerors. Amen. Through him that loves us. In all these things, think about that when the vice president moves up to the next notch. When things get ugly, you're more than conquerors through him that loved you. Paul said in the closing verses, for I'm persuaded. I think he meant, I believe this, that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This chapter, I urge you to read it again and again. It begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. Praise the name of Jesus. Think about it once again. I close. These questions. What shall we then say to these things? What will you say? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And who is he that condemneth? And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Not one. Glory to God. That is so wonderful, brothers and sisters. That is so marvelous, so rich, so deep. The more you think about it, the more it thrills your soul. God, who said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more because of his Son. Love you, brethren. You're so precious. God bless you all. I hope you have a marvelous week. Think about this. Ask yourself these questions. Mull them over in your mind. God bless you.